Welcome to the Outreach Mass. Oh my God, I come before you with all my restrictions and my pain. I ask you to have mercy on your servant. Be my companion in my sorrows, my hope in my anguish, and my friend in my joy. In this Outreach Mass, grant me the grace to hear your word and worship your Son at Holy Communion. Bless my neighbors. Bless those who provide the Outreach Mass. Bless the Diocese of Lansing and all who, through their prayers and support, make this televised Mass possible. We ask this through Christ our Lord. Amen.
Welcome to all those who are here with us as we celebrate Palm Sunday of the Passion of the Lord. Welcome also to all those who are watching and listening from your homes. Thank you for choosing to worship with us today. We are glad you are here. For those who are unable to receive Jesus in the Blessed Sacrament today, let us pray an act of spiritual communion and ask for the graces of the Most Holy Eucharist. My Jesus, I believe that you are in the Blessed Sacrament. I love you above all things, and I long for you in my soul. Since I cannot now receive you sacramentally, come at least spiritually into my heart. As though you have already come, I embrace you and unite myself entirely to you. Never permit me to be separated from you. Amen. Our presider for this liturgy is Father Peter, assisted by Deacon Jim. This Mass is being offered for the Holy Family First Saturday Memorial Mass and Intentions.
Let us pray. Almighty, ever-living God, who as an example of humility for the human race to follow, caused our Savior to take flesh and submit to the cross, graciously grant that we may heed this lesson of patient suffering, and so merit a share in his resurrection, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, God, forever and ever.
Amen.
A reading from the book of the prophet Isaiah. the Lord God has given me a well-trained tongue, that I might know how to speak to the weary, a word that will rouse them. Morning after morning, he opens my ear that I may hear, and I have not rebelled, have not turned back. I gave my back to those who beat me, my cheeks to those who plucked my beard. My face I did not shield from buffets and spitting. The Lord God is my help. Therefore, I'm not disgraced. I have set my face like flint, knowing that I shall not be put to shame. The word of the Lord. Reading from the letter of St. Paul to the Philippians. Christ Jesus, though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God something to be grasped. Rather, he emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, coming in human likeness, and found human in appearance. He humbled himself, becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Because of this, God greatly exalted him and bestowed on him the name, which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bend, of those in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. The word of the Lord.
Passion of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to Matthew. One of the 12, who was called Judas Iscariot, went to the chief priests and said,
"What are you willing to give me if I hand him over to you?"
They paid him 30 pieces of silver, and from that time on, he looked for an opportunity to hand him over. On the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, the disciples approached Jesus and said,
"Where do you want us to prepare for you to eat the Passover?"
He said,
"Go into the city to a certain man and tell him, 'The teacher says, my appointed time draws near. In your house I shall celebrate the Passover with my disciples.'"
The disciples then did as Jesus had ordered and prepared the Passover. When it was evening, he reclined at table with the 12. While they were eating, he said,
"Amen, I say to you, one of you will betray me."
Deeply distressed at this, they began to say to him one after another,
"Surely it is not I, Lord."
He said in reply,
"He who has dipped his hand into the dish with me is the one who will betray me. The Son of Man indeed goes, as it is written of him. But woe to that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would be better for that man if he had never been born."
Then Judas, his betrayer, said in reply,
"Surely it is not I, Rabbi."
He answered,
"You have said so."
While they were eating, Jesus took bread, said the blessing, broke it, and giving it to his disciples, said,
"Take and eat. This is my body."
Then he took a cup, gave thanks, and gave it to them, saying,
"Drink from it, all of you, for this is my blood of the covenant, which will be shed on behalf of many for the forgiveness of sins. I tell you, from now on, I shall not drink this fruit of the vine until the day when I drink it with you new in the kingdom of my Father."
Then, after singing a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. Then Jesus said to them,
"This night your faith in me will be shaken, for it is written, 'I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will be dispersed.' But after I have been raised up, I shall go before you to Galilee."
Peter said to him in reply,
"Though all may have their faith in you shaken, mine will never be."
Jesus said to him,
Amen, I say to you, this very night before the cock crows, you will deny me 3 times.
Peter said to him,
even though I should have to die with you, I will not deny you.
And all the other disciples spoke likewise. Then Jesus came with them to a place called Gethsemane, and he said to his disciples,
sit here while I go over there and pray.
He took along Peter and the 2 sons of Zebedee and began to feel sorrow and distress. Then he said to them,
my soul is sorrowful even to death. Remain here and keep watch with me.
He advanced a little and fell prostrate in prayer, saying,
my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Yet not as I will, but as you will.
When he returned to his disciples, he found them asleep. He said to Peter,
so you could not keep watch with me for 1 hour? Watch and pray that you may not undergo the test. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak.
Withdrawing a second time, he prayed again.
My Father, if it is not possible that this cup pass without my drinking it, your will be done.
Then he turned once more and found them asleep, for they could not keep their eyes open. He left them and withdrew again and prayed a third time, saying the same thing again. Then he returned to his disciples and said to them,
are you still sleeping and enjoying your rest? Behold, the hour is at hand when the Son of Man is to be handed over to sinners. Get up, let us go. Look, my betrayer is at hand.
While he was still speaking, Judas, one of the 12, arrived, accompanied by a large crowd with swords and clubs, who had come from the chief priests and elders of the people. His betrayer had arranged a sign with them, saying,
the man I shall kiss is the one. Arrest him.
Immediately he went over to Jesus and said,
Hail, Rabbi.
And he kissed him. Jesus answered him,
friend, do what you have come for.
Then stepping forward, they laid hands on Jesus and arrested him. And behold, one of those who accompanied Jesus put his hand to his sword, drew it, and struck the high priest's servant, cutting off his ear. Then Jesus said to him,
put your sword back into its sheath, for all who take the sword will perish by the sword. Do you think that I cannot call on my Father, and he will not provide me at this moment with more than 12 legions of angels? But then how would the scriptures be fulfilled, which say that it must come to pass in this way?
At that hour, Jesus said to the crowds,
have you come out as against a robber with swords and clubs to seize me? Day after day I sat teaching in the temple area, yet you did not arrest me. But all this has come to pass, that the writings of the prophets may be fulfilled.
Then all the disciples left him and fled. Those who had arrested Jesus led him away to Caiaphas, the high priest, where the scribes and elders were assembled. Peter was following him at a distance, as far as the high priest's courtyard, and going inside, he sat down with the servants to see the outcome. The chief priests and the entire Sanhedrin kept trying to obtain false testimony against Jesus in order to put him to death, but they found none, though many false witnesses came forward. Finally, 2 came forward and stated, the high priest rose and addressed him.
Have you no answer? What are these men testifying against you?
But Jesus was silent. Then the high priest said to him,
I order you to tell us under oath before the living God whether you are the Christ, the Son of God.
Jesus said to him in reply,
you have said so. But I tell you, from now on you will see the Son of Man seated at the right hand of the power and coming on the clouds of heaven."
Then the high priest tore his robes and said,
"He has blasphemed. What further need have we of witnesses? You have now heard the blasphemy. What is your opinion?"
They said in reply,
"He deserves to die."
Then they spat in his face and struck him, while some slapped him, saying, Now Peter was sitting outside in the courtyard. One of the maids came over to him and said, But he denied it in front of everyone, saying,
"I do not know what you are talking about."
As he went out to the gate, another girl saw him and said to those who were there, Again, he denied it with an oath,
"I do not know the man."
A little while later, some bystanders came and said to Peter, At that, he began to curse and to swear,
"I do not know the man."
And immediately a cock crowed. Then Peter remembered the word Jesus had spoken, "Before the cock crows, you will deny me three times." He went out and began to weep bitterly. When it was morning, all the chief priests and the elders of the people took counsel against Jesus to put him to death. They bound him, led him away, and handed him over to Pilate, the governor. Then Judas, his betrayer, seeing that Jesus had been condemned, deeply regretted what he had done. He returned the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and elders, saying,
"I have sinned in betraying innocent blood."
They said,
"What is that to us? Look to it yourself."
Flinging the money into the temple, he departed and went off and hanged himself. The chief priests gathered up the money but said, After consultation, they used it to buy the potter's field as a burial place for foreigners. That is why that field even today is called the Field of Blood. Then it was fulfilled what had been said through Jeremiah the prophet, "And they took the 30 pieces of silver, the value of a man with a price on his head, a price set by some of the Israelites, and they paid it out for the potter's field, just as the Lord had commanded me." Now Jesus stood before the governor, who questioned him,
"Are you the king of the Jews?"
Jesus said,
"You say so."
But when he was accused by the high priests and the elders, he made no answer. Then Pilate said to him,
"Do you not hear how many things they are testifying against you?"
But he did not answer him one word, so that the governor was greatly amazed. Now on the occasion of the feast, the governor was accustomed to release to the crowd one prisoner whom they wished. And at that time, they had a notorious prisoner called Barabbas. So when they had assembled, Pilate said to them,
"Which one do you want me to release to you, Barabbas or Jesus called Christ?"
For he knew that it was out of envy that they had handed him over. While he was still presiding on the bench, his wife sent him a message, "Have nothing to do with that righteous man. I suffered much in a dream today because of him." The chief priests and the elders persuaded the crowds to ask for Barabbas, but to destroy Jesus. The governor said to them in reply,
"Which of the two do you want me to release to you?"
They answered,
"Barabbas."
Pilate said to them,
"Then what shall I do with Jesus called Christ?"
They all said,
Let him be crucified.
But he said,
Why? What evil has he done?
They only shouted the louder.
Let him be crucified.
When Pilate saw that he was not succeeding at all, but that a riot was breaking out instead, he took water and washed his hands in the sight of the crowd, saying,
I am innocent of this man's blood. Look to it yourselves.
And the whole people said in reply, Then he released Barabbas to them. But after he had Jesus scourged, he handed him over to be crucified. Then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus inside the praetorium and gathered the whole cohort around him. They stripped off his clothes and threw a scarlet military cloak about him. Weaving a crown out of thorns, they placed it on his head and a reed in his right hand. And kneeling before him, they mocked him, saying,
Hail, King of the Jews.
They spat upon him and took the reed and kept striking him on the head. And when they had mocked him, they stripped him of the cloak, dressed him in his own clothes, and led him off to crucify him. As they were going out, they met a Cyrenian named Simon. This man they pressed into service to carry his cross. And when they came to a place called Golgotha, which means place of the skull, they gave Jesus wine to drink mixed with gall. But when he had tasted it, he refused to drink. After they had crucified him, they divided his garments by casting lots. Then they sat down and kept watch over him there. And they placed over his head the written charge against him. This is Jesus, the King of the Jews. Two revolutionaries were crucified with him, one on his right and the other on his left. Those passing by reviled him, shaking their heads and saying, Likewise, the chief priests with the scribes and elders mocked him and said, The revolutionaries who were crucified with him also kept abusing him in the same way. From noon onward, darkness came over the whole land until 3 p.m. In about 3:00, Jesus cried out in a loud voice,
Eli, Eli, lema sabachthani,
which means,
my God, why have you forsaken me?
Some of the bystanders who heard it said, Immediately, one of them ran to get a sponge. He soaked it in wine and, putting it on a reed, gave it to him to drink. But the rest said,
Wait, let us see if Elijah comes to save him.
But Jesus cried out again, a loud voice, and gave up his spirit. And behold, the veil of the sanctuary was torn in two from top to bottom. The earth quaked, rocks were split, tombs were opened, and the bodies of many saints who had fallen asleep were raised. And coming forth from their tombs after his resurrection, they entered the holy city and appeared to many. The centurion and the men with him who were keeping watch over Jesus feared greatly when they saw the earthquake and all that was happening, and they said, "There were many women present, looking on from a distance, who had followed Jesus from Galilee, ministering to him. Among them were Mary Magdalene, and Mary, the mother of James and Joseph, and the mother of the sons of Zebedee. When it was evening, there came a rich man from Arimathea named Joseph, who was himself a disciple of Jesus. He went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. Then Pilate ordered it to be handed over. Taking the body, Joseph wrapped it in clean linen and laid it in his new tomb that he had hewn in the rock. Then he rolled a huge stone across the entrance of the tomb and departed. But Mary Magdalene and the other Mary remained sitting there facing the tomb. The next day, the one following the day of preparation, the chief priests and the Pharisees gathered before Pilate and said, Pilate said to them,
"The guard is yours. Go secure it as best you can."
So they went and secured the tomb by fixing a seal to the stone and setting the guard. The Gospel of the Lord.
Betrayal, denial, everyone leaves Jesus alone, utterly alone. Jesus, who never hurt another human, who had done nothing wrong, was left to suffer alone. His friends fled, those who claimed to be his friends, who claimed that they would suffer and die with him, were willing to fight for Jesus, but not suffer with him. Jesus Christ, in all of this, raised not a single vindictive word, spurned no one, shunned no one, but was over and above all silent. In the face of the greatest injustice the world has ever seen, the killing of God, Jesus was silent. And he stood there, the God of the universe, the judge of the living and the dead, on trial, as his creature, the high priest, commanded him to say whether or not he was the Christ. And this God, this man, Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Messiah, spoke no lie, spoke only the truth. Claiming to be the Messiah, he was put on trial by the people he came to save. And he's on trial today. How can we believe in Jesus when he is silent in the face of injustice? How can we believe in a God who does not solve my problems the way I would like them to be solved? Yes, brothers and sisters, you and I, we put Jesus on trial. We put Jesus on trial a lot. We hold up Jesus and we tell him whether or not he's doing a good job being our Messiah. We try to tell him what to do command him one way or another, judge the way he interacts with us. Yes, we judge our judge. And in return, what does our judge do? He is silent. I can't imagine what it would have been like to be Judas. Judas betrayed his Lord, betrayed innocent blood, and he did it for 30 pieces of silver. What a mistake. Peter denied the Lord in front of everyone, and the rest of the disciples fled. They abandoned Jesus, their one hope, their one salvation. And yet there's something very specific about Judas. Judas failed to recognize something. Like Adam and Eve in the garden so long ago, at the fall of mankind, after his sin, he hid himself. He turned away. Peter turned back to his merciful Lord and Savior, but Judas, he turned away, he hid. He gave up on himself, and what's far, far worse and far more tragic, he gave up on the mercy of God. One turn back to his merciful Lord and Savior could have set things right. But he turned away. Brothers and sisters, the veil was torn. Jesus tore that veil for you and for me. It may be a small detail that maybe you missed. But as Jesus died on that cross, he tore the veil. As a Jew, that would have been very significant. A Jew would have known that God is infinite, that God is infinitely perfect and infinitely high above me. As someone who grew up in a strong Christian background, I know that I am infinitely unworthy of God's love. I know that God is all powerful, all good, all loving, and that I am very not. I know that it is my sins that put him on that cross, as Judas knew that. Yes, brothers and sisters, your sins put him on that cross. That is why he suffered and died. Your sins and my sins. I know that. You should know that. We can never earn that kind of love that our Savior poured out so freely from the crucifix. Brothers and sisters, if your heart is stuck racing with the thought that it's my sins that put him there. That yes, Jesus died for my sins. Yes, Jesus redeemed me. But he's not going to forget that one. He'll forgive, but that one's not going to be let go. He'll forgive, but Jesus Christ will never look at me the same way again. If that is where your heart is, Jesus has a message for you today. Jesus Christ does not regret saving you from sin and death. Jesus Christ laid down his life freely, not so that you could turn away like Judas. Like Judas, your sins put him there. But unlike Judas, turn to your merciful Lord and Savior. Turn to the one who once set you free and will set you free again. Turn to the one who, despite knowing why he died and why he suffered, despite bearing all of your sin, does not hold that against you, but instead seeks after you as the good shepherd. Turn to Jesus Christ, who would rather die on a cross than spend eternity without you. Brothers and sisters, the veil is torn. The all-powerful, all-good, all-worthy God is with us. And once again today on that altar, he pours himself out for you. He died for you, and he does not hold that against you. Jesus Christ paid the price for your sin, and he does not want his money back. He wants you. Turn to the Lord. What could be more powerful than that? That the God of the universe, who we love to put on trial and decide how well he's doing his job, that God of the universe died out of love for you. And rather than being vindictive and spiteful towards you and I, we who sin, we who put him on trial, rather than that, he turns to you in love and says, I do not regret dying for you. Your sins that you committed after baptism, your sins you committed in your youth, in your age, I do not regret dying for you. Come to me and I will set you free. Because I died not to show you how unworthy you were of my love, but to give you that love, to give you the one life, the one chance at salvation that is offered to set you free. I suffered and died, not to condemn you to hell, but to tear that veil, to give you myself, all that I am and have. We have him every single Mass on this altar. Every time we come to church, Jesus gives us his very self. Brothers and sisters, have you sinned? Have you turned away from God? Have you betrayed him like Judas, denied him like Peter? Jesus died for you. Come to Jesus. Hear him in your heart as he pours himself out again, whole and entire, on this altar of sacrifice. Beg him for his grace and his mercy, but remember, Jesus does not regret dying for you. Please stand as we profess our faith. I believe in one God, the Father of all, maker of heaven and earth, of all things visible and invisible. I believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, born of the Father before all ages, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten not made, consubstantial with the Father, through whom all things were made, for us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven. The blood of the Holy Spirit was incarnate of the Virgin Mary, and became man. For our sake, he was crucified and crucified. He suffered death and was buried, and rose again on the third day, in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven, and is seated at the right hand of God. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is adored and held forever, who has spoken to the prophets. I believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. I confess my baptism for the forgiveness of sins, and I look forward to the resurrection of the dead, and the life of the world to come. Amen. We call on the name of the Lord as we bring our petitions to him.
For the church, may God increase her in number and holiness, we pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For the world, May the Lord bring about his justice in peace. We pray to the Lord. For those who do not yet know Christ's saving love, may they come to know the promise of the Lord's faithfulness. We pray to the Lord. For all of us gathered here, may the Spirit draw us closer in union with our triune God. We pray to the Lord. For the sick, especially for our television, radio, and online community, and for Angelica Liu, Father Jim Shaver, and those listed in our book of prayer, we pray to the Lord. For all who have died in the light of faith, especially Joanne Yeager, Edward Pulaski, Barbara Joseph, and all the holy souls in purgatory, may they soon be welcomed to the wedding feast of the Lamb. We pray to the Lord.
God of glory, we entrust ourselves to you. Hear and answer these prayers according to your holy will, through Christ our Lord.
Amen. O Sacred Heart, surrounded by crown of piercing thorn, O bleeding head, so wounded, reviled and put to scorn.
Brothers and sisters, that my sacrifice and yours may be acceptable to God the Almighty Father. Through the passion of your only begotten Son, O Lord, may our reconciliation with you be near at hand, so that though we do not merit it by our own deeds, yet by this sacrifice made once for all, we may feel already the effects of your mercy, through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right and just.
It is truly right and just, our duty and our salvation, always and everywhere to give you thanks, Lord, Holy Father, Almighty and Eternal God, through Christ our Lord. For though innocent, he suffered willingly for sinners and accepted unjust condemnation to save the guilty. His death has washed away our sins, and his resurrection has purchased our justification. And so with all the angels we praise you, as in joyful celebration we acclaim. You are indeed holy, O Lord, the fount of all holiness. Make holy, therefore, these gifts, we pray, by sending down your Spirit upon them like the dewfall, so that they may become for us the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. At the time he was betrayed and entered willingly into his passion, he took bread, and giving thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take this, all of you, and eat of it, for this is my body, which will be given up for you." In a similar way, when supper was ended, he took the chalice, and once more giving thanks, he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take this, all of you, and drink from it, for this is the chalice of my blood, the blood of the new and eternal covenant, which will be poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in memory of me." The mystery of faith.
Proclaim your death, O Lord, and profess your resurrection until you come again.
Therefore, as we celebrate the memorial of his death and resurrection, we offer you, Lord, the bread of life and the chalice of salvation, giving thanks that you have held us worthy to be in your presence and minister to you. Humbly we pray that, partaking of the body and blood of Christ, we may be gathered into one by the Holy Spirit. Remember, Lord, your church spread throughout the world, and bring her to the fullness of charity, together with Francis our Pope and Earl our Bishop and all the clergy. Remember also our brothers and sisters who have fallen asleep in the hope of the resurrection, and all who have died in your mercy. Welcome them into the light of your face. Have mercy on us all, we pray, that with the Blessed Virgin Mary, Mother of God, with the blessed apostles and all the saints who have pleased you throughout the ages, we may merit to be co-heirs to eternal life and may praise and glorify you through your Son, Jesus Christ.
Through him and with him and in him, O God, Almighty Father, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all glory and honor is yours, forever and ever.
Amen.
At the Savior's command, and formed by divine teaching, we dare to say,
Our Father, who art in heaven,
our daily bread, and forgive us
Lord, we pray, from every evil, graciously grant peace in our days, that by the help of your mercy we may be always free from sin and safe from all distress, as we await the blessed hope and the coming of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Lord Jesus Christ, who said to your apostles, "Peace I leave you, my peace I give you," look not on our sins but on the faith of your church, and graciously grant her peace and unity in accordance with your will, who live and reign forever and ever.
Amen.
The peace of the Lord be with you always.
And with your spirit.
Let us offer each other a sign of peace.
Behold the Lamb of God. Behold him who takes away the sins of the world. Blessed are those called to the supper of the Lamb. Let us pray. Nourished with these sacred gifts, we humbly beseech you, O Lord, that just as through the death of your Son, you have brought us to hope for what we believe, so by his resurrection, you may lead us to where you call, through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And with
your spirit. Bow down for the blessing.
Look, we pray, O Lord, on this your family, for whom our Lord Jesus Christ did not hesitate to be delivered into the hands of the wicked and submit to the agony of the cross, who lives and reigns forever and ever.
Amen.
And may the blessing of Almighty God, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit come down upon you and remain with you forever.
Amen.
Go and announce the gospel of the Lord.
What wondrous love is this? Number 642.